like water rushing over us. The tide pulls from the moon. The tide pulls from the moon.
The Tide Pulls from the Moon, a song written and sung by William Fitzsimmons and heard from his CD called Gold in the Shadow. Actually, William, living and working in our area, I think, as I recall, near Springfield, and making certainly a national name for himself, I believe, as a singer-songwriter of a particular bent. And you heard him here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show is your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. On the program today, coming up, we'll be hearing some recordings from our collection that is slowly growing over the weeks, months, and now years that we've been running this program of primarily performers living and working in our listening area. But for this first portion of the program, we're going to be talking about the current production, which will actually open on Friday, from Charleston Alley Theater. It's the Pulitzer Prize-winning drama by Paul Zindel called The Effect of Gamma Rays on Man in the Moon Marigolds, which takes a bit of a breath to get through. Slight exaggeration, but you get the point. And it's a title that I'd seen before without ever actually knowing anything about it. Now I know a little bit about it, and we're going to hear a little bit more as we talk with the director of the production, Earl Halby, and also with two of the five actors we have with us, Anne Brewer and Zoe Wavering. And thanks all very much for coming up on the show today. Earl, just a little bit for you first. Remind me how much of Charleston Alley Theater's history you've been a part of.
Well, actually, quite a bit. When we first, Duke Bagger and I, put up a play in Rock's Lounge, which is a bar on the square in Charleston, and Tony Cox was also involved with that. Duke and Linda Bagger are on the board of directors, and so is Tony Cox. I went up to Chicago, well, that was in 1980, where we put up a play in Rocks called Kennedy's Children. And I went up to Chicago to seek my fortune, and Duke and Linda and Tony stayed here in town, and they got together with Tanya Wood a few years later, around 91, and then they started the Alley Theater, the Charleston Alley Theater. So the genesis of the Charleston Alley Theater was the productions that Duke and Linda and Tony Cox and I put up in Rocks.
And just an aside, as an aside, did you find your fortune?
Yes and no.
Okay, that's fine. That's probably all we need to talk about. So you've been back involved with the theater company for
Almost a year and a half now, yes.
So not very long.
Yeah.
The reason I asked is just if you could maybe address a little bit the intention when it got going and what its intention is now. I mean, the gist of it, as I understand it from just reading your website a little bit, is to do plays that aren't done very often elsewhere. They may be very famous plays or they may be that are certainly read a lot. I'm thinking of some of the Shakespeare plays.
Right.
That maybe don't get put on as much as others. And then some that are original, I was going to say compositions, original...
Works,
thank you, by local people.
Right.
And then I gather that the present play sort of is a third category where it's one that is certainly famous, at least... in certain circles, won a Pulitzer Prize, but isn't put on very often for some probably pretty good reasons. So anyway, that's a little bit of a long preamble to my understanding of the purpose of the company. Can you augment that a little bit?
Well, the Charleston Alley Theater is a very intimate space, and a production like Gamma Rays fits into that really well because it's a small cast, and it's a highly regarded work. It's one of the type of things that when an audience gets involved with it, they really get to see the development of the characters.
What I think is great about the Charleston Alley Theater is that not only does it do shows that aren't seen very often, but especially shows that aren't seen very often in Charleston, Illinois. You know, it's not a town that you think of. You don't think theater when you think Charleston, Illinois. Like, you know, I've never heard of all Pulitzer Prize-winning shows, but we get a chance to do that for people who might not otherwise see it, which is really great.
This particular play, and I'll say the title again because it's so great, and in case people are just joining us, The Effect of Gamma Rays on Man and the Moon Marigolds, is not exactly uplifting, I gather. I haven't seen it, but I've seen little parts of the film and read some, and wonder why it's been 40 years since anybody around here has done it. As far as you know.
Well, it was very popular in the 70s, of course. It was written in 64. It had its world premiere in a place called the Alley Theater in Houston, Texas.
Coincidentally.
Yeah. A small place in Houston, Texas. Then it had its Broadway debut in 1972, I believe it was. So it was very popular. It won the Pulitzer Prize. It won a New York Drama Critics Award and won an Obie Award. It got very, very popular. A lot of people were doing it. One of the things that happens with it, it's very popular with high schools and colleges. And what you'll have is people around the same age are playing all the roles. You've got Beatrice, who's supposed to be middle-aged. You've got Nanny, who's supposed to be very, very elderly. And then you have two high school girls, daughters, actually three high school girls. There's Janice Vickery and then Beatrice's two daughters. And what you'll find in high school and college, you'll see people about the same age playing all the roles. So what we have with our cast, we're very lucky. We have very talented people, and they're all age-appropriate actors. So that's one of the reasons a lot of people don't do it non-professionally.
It's a very thought-provoking play. It's a story of humanity, and it certainly illustrates the lows. But I think if you think about it and really see how the characters develop, it also illustrates the highs of humanity.
Right.
And there are very good things that can come out of bad situations.
Right. It's about the resiliency of the human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And
at least in the case of one character.
Yes,
right.
but.
While it shows the darker sides of humanity that we may not like to look at and watch for a couple hours, it's very insightful into our own characters to see these darker sides that we all have in us, you know, laid out in a play. It's not something you get to see very often. And I think that's why it's not done very often, because it's not something that people might be comfortable doing, because there are dark moments, and it's not exactly uplifting for most of it. But, I mean, it's life, and it's important that we portray that.
Well, let's get down to what it's about, which we're sort of talking around.
We're starting to get there. Yeah,
we're starting to get there. Setting the stage, as it were. What's it about?
Well, as I said, it's about the resiliency of the human spirit, as far as Tilly goes. But what makes it so popular with people is I've talked to a lot of people. Oh, I'm doing Gamma Rays. Oh, I love that show. And it's filled with a lot of dark things. But at the end of it, it's such a hopeful ending. And I think what makes the work so good is that, you know, the playwright, Paul Zindel, has chosen the way that he's put the characters in this tiny little house with Beatrice and the way that he's chosen to tell the story is it's so beautifully written. And when we get to the end of it, we see that actually human nature is always
full of hope.
Basically,
yeah.
Beatrice loses hope.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In the show.
Well, let's talk about the story. So we've mentioned two of the characters, Beatrice and
Ruth.
Daughter Ruth, who you're playing, yes. Zoe, and daughter Tilly, who we don't have here today.
Essentially,
the dynamic is difficult.
Ruth is a woman who had great potential in life. You know, she's witty, she's smart. Yeah,
Beatrice.
Sorry, my bad. She had great potential, and she just, for whatever reason, she had a bad marriage. She didn't have a lot of money growing up. She didn't reach the landmarks that she wanted to and become the person that she wanted to be. And she kind of has this frustration that she sometimes unleashes on her two daughters, and it's basically the story of Ruth and Tilly, the two daughters, and of Beatrice trying to work with what they have and, you know, get out of this dysfunctional, not-so-pleasant living situation to rise above.
And the title has to do with Tilly, who's the more optimistic person in the cast, some of her science experiments at school.
Exactly.
Which in turn are apparently reflective of the plot. Of the nature of the human characters.
Exactly. There's a lot of metaphor here. Beatrice is a very intelligent, witty. She had a lot going for her, and somewhere along the lines, in one of the monologues that Anne is going to be reading, we'll get into that. We'll see that, where somewhere along the line, Beatrice just never really rose to her potential that she should have had, and she has a lot of frustration built up in her because of that. And so her life is just not working out well for her, and the frustrations build up to the point where she takes it out on her daughters, almost to the point where she, if she feels that her daughters are going to be successful in life, she won't be able to stand it.
Which causes a lot of conflict when Tilly's science project ends up winning a prize and being
Correct.
A finalist and becoming very successful.
And Tilly is able to rise above the dysfunction in her family because of the focus on her science project. Her science teacher, Mr. Goodman, who is just referred to, he's not actually a character in the play, a play by an actor, he gives her a project that he exposes marigold seeds to varying degrees of gamma radiation, and then Tilly takes those seeds and plants them and grows them and observes what happens to them. And the focus on that is what keeps Tilly from succumbing to the
metaphorical radiation emanating
the metaphorical
from
gamma rays from Beatrice, yes, absolutely.
And the other part of the metaphor is that there are the marigolds end up being deformed, but oddly beautiful, or maybe
that's
not
correct.
Oddly
right.
beautiful.
That's correct. In a way, stronger. And of course, at the end of the play, Tilly, because of the neglect and abuse that is given to her by her mother, she actually is forced to focus more on her schoolwork and her science project. And so, in an odd way, because of the fact that she was exposed to so much metaphorical gamma rays and or abuse, she becomes a better person. And that's the beautiful part of the story, and it's wonderfully written and well put together by the playwright, and it's quite a production.
A lyrical drama, I heard it
yes,
described.
Yes, absolutely, and a lot of people compare it to Tennessee Williams' work.
Talking with Earl Halby and two of his actors, Earl is directing Charleston Alley Theater's production of The Effect of Gamma Rays on Man in the Moon Marigolds. It'll open on Friday and continue through August 19th with mostly evening performances, and I'll give you the rundown coming up. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, an authorized Karastan broadloom and rug dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. So we've got a couple of scenes to do. Which would be most appropriate to do first?
Sure, I've got one here. Just to set it up, Beatrice, the mother, is in her kitchen living room area. Tilly is working on the plants, planting them, and also in the room is Nanny, the elderly boarder, who Beatrice takes care of.
She's taken the boarder in to support the family. These people are on the edge of poverty, and it's a what is it, $50 a month?
Yeah, $50 a week. Mm-hmm.
So this is your monologue then?
Yes.
Anne Brewer in the role of Beatrice, forgot the last name.
Hunsdorfer.
Hunsdorfer. You seem to like that last name.
Oh, yeah. Lots of fun.
Okay.
Okay. Science, science, science. Don't they teach our misfits anything anymore? Anything decent, meaningful, sensitive? Do you know what I'd be now if it wasn't for this mud pool I got sucked into? I'd probably be a dancer. Miss Betty Frank, the best dancer of the class of 1942. 1 minute, I'm the best dancer in school. Smart as a whip, the head of the whole crowd. And the next minute, ta-da! One mistake. That's how it starts. Marry the wrong man, and before you know it, he's got you tied down with two stones around your neck for the rest of your life. When I was going to that lousy high school, I was the most respected kid you ever saw. I used to wonder why people always said, "Why, just yesterday! Why, just yesterday! Why, just yesterday!" Before I knew it, I lost my dancing legs and got varicose legs. Beautiful varicose legs. Cha-cha-cha. Do you know, everything I ever thought I'd be has exploded. Hurry up with that honey, Nanny. Exploded. You know, I almost forgot everything I was supposed to be. Nanny's almost finished. Isn't that wonderful? She's almost finished, all right. Nanny's daughter's coming to see her soon. Will that make Nanny happy? The day Miss Career Woman of the Year comes to visit again, I think I'll drop dead. Nobody's too busy for anything they want to do, don't you tell me. What kind of an idiot do people take me for? Don't they know I can see right through them? Miss Career Ostrich of the Year. Nanny! You're spilling your hotsy water. You know, I ought to kick you right out and open that tea shop tomorrow. Oh, it's coming. I can feel it. And the first thing I'm going to do is get rid of that rabbit. Huh, you think I'm kidding? You bet I'm not. I was going to do this a month ago. Here it is. Here's a new word for you, Matilda. Trichloromethane. Do you know what that is? Well, it's chloroform. I'm saving it for that Angora manure machine of yours. And speaking of manure machines, is Nanny ready to go make duty? Nanny's always ready for duty, aren't you, Nanny? Because Nanny's a good goody girl, and good goody girls get good goody things. Half-life. If you want to know what a half-life is, just ask me. You are looking at the original half-life. I got one daughter with half a mind, another one who's half a test tube, half a husband, a house half full of rabbit crap, and half a corpse. That's what I call a half-life, Matilda. Me and Cobalt 60. Two of the biggest half-lives you ever saw.
Wow. And you're smiling right now.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a scene from The Effect of Gamma Rays on Man in the Mood Marigolds, a play by Paul Zindel, with Anne Brewer in the role of Beatrice Hunsdorfer. And Matilda, to whom she referred, is actually Tilly, about whom we talked earlier. And I guess Tilly's sort of, she's the main protagonist, you're the main antagonist, is how I saw it described somewhere, and I wonder how you managed to go there.
A lot of work. It has taken a lot of work. It's, you know, Beatrice really descends into a sad place, and it's a place that I've certainly never gone as a person, but you know, as an actress, I can imagine it and have seen other people go through very difficult periods in their life. And so, you know, you just take from different experiences and put it into your role and put it out there on the stage.
Anything you've played before that compares to this?
No, I'm actually pretty new to the stage.
I've only, is that right?
Yes, I've only done one other role on stage.
Wow. And what was that?
I was in Love, Loss, and What I Wore and played one of the characters for the Charleston Community Theater last March.
Not a play I know either.
It's a Nora Ephron piece.
Which means it's probably a little brighter.
Well,
no?
There was some stuff in there, too. Anne had a great monologue in there.
What do you do otherwise?
Oh, I was a preschool teacher for many, many years.
And does that prepare you at all for dealing with the kids in this play?
Well, the girls in this play are all very mature. But, you know, I think...
I guess I really mean the characters.
The characters in the play.
You
know, in a way it has because... a lot of the families I've worked with have come from a lot of different circumstances. So even though the children I worked with were much younger, certainly their families in sometimes circumstances were going through some rough patches. And as their teacher, I helped them through. So
I read that I was reading the Paul Zindel's obituary in the New York Times, and they spent some time talking about this play. And also a little bit of his short biography, and the character Beatrice seems to have been based on his own mother.
That's right.
What do you know about his background and how much of himself he poured into that? And he wrote the play while he was teaching school.
Quite a bit, actually. His relationship with his mother is quite. There's quite a lot of autobiographical. Nature to the play. His mother was sick with cancer, and they actually reconciled in her later days. And he would go to the house and pick her up and take her out to eat when she was feeling well. And she had quite a sense of humor. And also she did have a little bit of the bitterness in her life, similar to Beatrice. And she and Mr. Zindel actually did, like I said, reconcile in the later days. And I read that he would go and see productions of the play and sit there and cry when he saw Beatrice's humor being portrayed on stage because it reminded him so much of his mother.
In a more positive.
Correct.
In a more positive
Absolutely. Yes.
So he puts himself somewhat in the role of which of the girls? Because she was, you know, he was one of two kids, I believe.
Right. Well, I don't
Any
think he
idea?
Put himself into either one of the girls.
No.
If it might be Tilly, but I think that it was mostly the autobiographical nature of the work is mostly just
the mom,
Beatrice, and his mom.
Right? Kind of the general situation.
And Tilly and Ruth are just, you know, necessary components to tell the story.
Ruth is the older of the two daughters.
Yes.
A little disturbed herself.
Just a little. She's grown up. As we said before, Beatrice takes in these elderly boarders for money. So Ruth has grown up all her life with very old people, very close to death, and that her mother's not exactly comforting. So that has really affected her, and she's epileptic, and occasionally she'll get very stressed out, and it's. At the time of the play, she hasn't had a seizure in a long time, but that has been a problem in her life. And she gets very upset when thinking about death and when thinking about the elderly boarders. It's very hard for her.
And what's her relationship with her sister like?
At times, she's supportive. She likes to see her sister succeed, but then she realizes that sometimes Tilly's successes give her a relationship with her mother that Ruth could never have because she doesn't have that outlet, that place to succeed that Tilly does.
And yet it's Tilly that Beatrice most often comes down on. Yes?
Yes, that, well...
Beatrice is pretty hard on both the girls.
Yeah.
but I
think Beatrice envies Tilly for her successes, yes. But Ruth tries very hard to get any affection especially, but really any attention from her mother. Because the problem is Beatrice is so focused on Tilly and her successes, whether in a good or a bad way, and Ruth doesn't have anything like that from her mother.
So we're going to see a scene between the who are seen between the two of you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what leads up to this one?
Well, Beatrice is sitting up late at night, having a drink and a cigarette, middle of the night, and there's a thunderstorm, and Ruth begins to have a panic attack upstairs. And so at the top of the scene, you'll become aware that Ruth is very distressed, and she comes running down the stairs, and Beatrice, just her natural mothering instinct, takes over, and it's a lovely little scene. We get to see almost a normal relationship between the two characters, and it's beautifully written, and at the end, you'll see some of the longing, or in this case here, some of the longing that Beatrice has for a better life.
Anne Brewer in the role of Beatrice and Zoe Wavering in the role of Ruth Hunsdorfer from the play The Effect of Gamma Rays on Man in the Moon Marigolds by Paul Zindel, which will open at Charleston Alley Theater on Friday.
Ruth, stop it. You were dreaming, do you hear me? Nobody's after you. Nobody. There now, nobody's after you. Nobody, nobody, Ruth. Nice and easy. Breathe deep. Breathe. Did the big bad man come after my little girl? The big bad boogeyman? There. That wasn't so bad, was it?
It was the dream. With Mr. Mayo again.
Oh, Ruth. We'll just get you a little hot milk. Oh, the electricity's gone off. Do you remember what happened to those candles?
What candles?
The little white ones that were on my birthday cake last year.
Tilly melted them down for school a long time ago.
She had no right doing that.
She asked you. She used them to attach some kind of a paper straw to a milk bottle with a balloon over it. It was supposed to tell if it was going to rain.
There, it works. I don't want her wasting anything of mine unless she's positive I won't need it. You always need candles. Sit down, Ruth. I'll get you a blanket. Here, take this. This'll warm you up. What's the matter?
The flashlight.
What's wrong with it?
It's the one I used to check on Mr. Mayo with.
So it is. We don't need it.
No. Let me keep it. You want to hear how they have it in the history?
No, I don't.
Well, they say I came out of my room, and I started down the stairs, step by step, and I heard the choking and the banging on the bed, and...
I'm going back to bed.
No!
We'll talk about something nice, then.
Oh, Mama. Tell me about the wagon.
You change so fast, I can't keep up with you.
Mama, please, the story about the wagon.
I don't know anything about telling stories. Get those great big smart teachers of yours to do that sort of stuff.
Tell me about the horses again, and how you stole the wagon.
Don't get me started on that.
Mama, please. Leave out the part where they shoot the horses, though.
Honey, you know the whole story.
Apples, pears, cucumbers.
No, it's apples, pears, cucumbers.
Apples, pears, cucumbers. How did you get the wagon out without him seeing you?
That was easy. Every time he got home for the day, he'd make us both some sandwiches. My mama had been dead for years. And then he'd take a nap on the old sofa that used to be over there. While he was sleeping, I hitched up the horses and went riding around the block, waving to everyone.
Oh, Mama, you didn't.
Of course I did. I had more nerve than a bear when I was a kid. Let me tell you, it takes nerve to sit up on that wagon every day yelling, apples, pears, cucumbers.
Did he find out you took the wagon?
Did he find out? He came running down the block after me and started spanking me right on top of the wagon. Not hard, but it was so embarrassing. And I had one of those penny marshmallow chips in the back pocket of my overalls, and it got all squashed. And you better believe I never did it again. You would have loved him, Ruth, and gone out with him on the wagon, all over Stapleton, yelling as loud as you wanted.
Apples, pears, cucumbers.
No.
Cucumbers.
My father made up for all the other men in this whole world, Ruth. If only you two could have met. He'd only be about 65 now, do you realize that? and I'll bet he'd still be selling vegetables around town. All that fun, and then I don't think I ever really knew what hit me.
Don't tell about
the... Don't worry about the horses.
What hit you?
Well, it was just me and Papa and your father hanging around. And then Papa got sick, and I drove with him up to the sanatorium. And then I came home, and there were the horses.
Mother.
And I had the horses taken care of. And then Papa got terribly sick, and he begged me to marry so that he'd be sure I'd be taken care of. If he knew how I was taken care of, he'd turn over in his grave. And nightmares! Do you want to know the nightmare I used to have? I never had nightmares over the fights with your father, or the divorce, or his thrombosis. He deserved it. I never had nightmares over any of that. Let me tell you about my nightmare that used to come back and back. Well, I'm on Papa's wagon, but it's newer and shinier, and it's being pulled by beautiful white horses, not dirty work horses. These are like circus horses with long manes and tinsel, and the wagon is blue, shiny blue, and it's full, filled with yellow apples, grapes, and green squash. You're going to laugh when you hear this. I'm wearing a lovely gown all covered with jewels, and my hair is piled up on top of my head with a long feather in it. And bells are ringing, huge bells swinging on a gold braid strung across the back of the wagon. And they're going, dong, 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 dong.
Dong, dong.
And I'm yelling, dong, dong, apples, pears, dong, dong, cucumbers.
Dong, dong. That doesn't sound like a nightmare to me.
Then I turn down our street, and all the noise stops. This long street with all the doors shut tight and everything crowded next to each other, and there's not a soul around. And then I start getting afraid that the vegetables are going to spoil and that nobody's going to buy anything. And I feel as though I shouldn't be on the wagon, and I keep trying to call out. There's not a sound, not a single sound. Then I turn my head, and I look at this house across the street. I see an upstairs window. The curtains slowly part, and I see the face of my father. Ruth, take that light out of my eyes.
Is Nanny gonna die here?
No.
What are you gonna do with her?
Get rid of her. Oh, God.
Are you crying?
What's left for me, Ruth?
What, Mama?
What's left for me?
A scene from The Effect of Gamma Rays on Man in the Moon Marigolds. That is the current production at Charleston Alley Theater. It opens on Friday and continues Saturday of this weekend, both those performances at 7:30, and then next Monday, and then the following Friday, Saturday, and then the following Monday. So that's through the 19th, and then there's two matinees on Sundays, August 11th and 18th. If you'd like tickets and more information, you can call the box office at area 217-345-2287. And if you want more information on Charleston Alley Theater, the address is simply charlestonalleytheater.com. We've been very pleased this afternoon to have with us on the show the director of this production, who's Earl Halby, and two of the only five actors in the play, Anne Brewer in the role of Mother Beatrice, and Zoe Wavering in the role of the elder of the two daughters, Ruth, and in the role of Tilly, who we've talked about, but of course haven't heard today, is Emma Banyai, and then also Leah Pazinski, Pat Shannon, also involved in the production. Thank you all very much for coming up, and best of luck with the opening.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-244. 9309. And now you can take WILL with you anywhere you go. We have the new WILL app. And if you have an iPhone, iPad, or Android device, you can just head to the App Store or Google Play. Search for WILL Radio. It's a free app. It allows you to stream our AM and our FM stations. You can listen to past episodes of your favorite programs on demand and much more. The new WILL app, look for it under WILL Radio. It's live and local here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. The song is called Lines by Ryan Groff, who also sang the vocals and played all the instruments on there. Not too many on that one, but he plays quite a few on this CD, which is called Ryan Groff, People in the Midwest, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Ryan is local to Champaign-Urbana. He's lead singer of the band called Elsinore and also does some of his own solo projects, as this CD is an example. I'm Kevin Kelly. I appreciate your joining on the show today. And for the rest of the hour, we'll be just sharing some music from CDs that have come to the Live and Local Library by people who either do now or have lived and worked in our listening area, as well as some who have simply come through either once or often. One who did live here, and I actually lost track of her, her name's Holly Holmes. She was a student at the University of Illinois and has done a lot of singing of different types. This is from her CD from several years ago now. Actually, it's quite a number of years ago, 2001. I shouldn't say quite a number. And it's called The Climb, the CD is, that is. And we're going to hear from it a Pat Metheny tune called The Road to Me, The Road to You. It's Holly Holmes and numerous colleagues here on Live and Local.
Oh,
Holly Holmes, a vocalist from her CD called The Climb, and she was joined, I said, quite a number of people who were, and there are quite a number involved on the CD, but this one just piano trio. So Chris Sargent doing the wonderful piano work, the bass player Daniel Thatcher, and I think that covers it for this one. No, would be the drummer Quincy Davis. And it was a Pat Metheny song, The Road to Me, The Road to You, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Holly Holmes was local to our listening area and has now moved on elsewhere. Jazz vocalist, musicologist, and educator is how she bills herself on her website, which is hollyholmes.com. Most days on this show, I do try to give a calendar of primarily musical, but also some theatrical and dance events going on in our listening area over the next day or two, and I will do that coming up shortly. But one of the events that happens every Wednesday in Arthur, Illinois, is called the Gunny Sack Review. It happens at the Yoder Center there every Wednesday, 7 o'clock, and goes for a few or several hours, depending upon who turns up, both on stage and in the audience. And we had a bunch of the guys from the Gunny Sack Review on the show. Oh, it's probably been several months now. And they left me with this CD called Fence Rose. And one of the gentlemen singing on our program and is singing this song is a fellow named Connie Christ, and backup vocals Matt Gingrich. And it's a Claude Boone tune, I think you might recognize.
I have the invitation that you sent me. He wanted me to see you change your name. I couldn't bear to see you wed another. But dear, I hope happy just the same. Wedding bells are ringing in the chapel. That should be ringing out for you and me. And down the aisle with someone else here walking, those wedding bells I've got a little cabin in the valley. I even bought a little pan of gold. I plan someday to place it on your finger. But now the future looks so dark and cold. Wedding bells are ringing in the chapel. Every sense of day you set me free. At home alone I hang my head in sorrow. Those wedding bells will never ring for me. A blossom from an orange tree in your hair. And while the organ plays, I love you truly. Oh, please let me pretend that I am there. Oh, wedding bells are ringing in the chapel. That should be ringing now for someone else you walk. Those wedding bells will never ring for me. Hey, those wedding bells will never ring for me.
The Gunnysack Review, based in Arthur, Illinois, which featured in Wedding Bells, Connie Crist on the lead vocals, Matt Gingrich on the backup, on Live and Local here on FM 90.9, where our program is made possible with support from WDLT in Bloomington, presenting their final recycled music sale Friday and Saturday, August 16th and 17th, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, August 18th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Crossroads Center, Wiley Drive in Normal. More information is available at wglt.org. Besides the play at Charleston Alley Theater we discussed earlier on the program, here are some other events you can see and hear live in our listening area over the next couple or few days. It's the good old-fashioned Hootenanny at the Rose Bowl Tavern in downtown Urbana every Monday, and that includes tonight at 8 o'clock. The Decatur Municipal Band will be at Central Park in Decatur for a concert at 7 o'clock. It's Candy Foster and Shades of Blue at Douglas Park in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. The semi-Celtic group, I guess specifically Irish, Wee Banjo 3, will be on the Piper's Hut concert series at the Independent Media Center in Urbana tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We're still hoping to have an interview on tomorrow's Live and Local, but that's looking a little iffy at the moment. The Live Jukebox Duo show with David Howie and Lou DiBello will be at El Toro 2 in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6:30. It's Jason Parrish's acoustic jam at the Rose Bowl in Urbana tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Snow White in the Children's Theater production at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan is tomorrow morning at 10:30. The Traditional Jazz Orchestra is at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5. It's a 3-times-weekly carillon concert at the Thomas Reese Memorial Carillon in Springfield tomorrow evening, Wednesday evening, and Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. Champaign-Urbana Singer-Songwriter Collective, represented at Clark Bar in Champaign tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock. Braden Anderson and Justin Rondone will be at Clark Bar tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It's JR Country at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood tomorrow evening at 5:30. The Marvin Lee Country Show is at Hale Park Pavilion in Philo tomorrow evening at 6:30. And since we heard the Gunnysack Review, who are every Wednesday night at in Arthur, here are a couple of the other weekly events going on Wednesdays. It's the Traditional Irish Music Session at Dublin O'Neill's in Champaign, Wednesdays at 8:30. Gordy Wilson and Katie Flynn are at Baltini Lounge in Champaign, Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. And where's the other weekly? Jim and Jimmy Bean and Friends, an acoustic experience at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign. That is also at 6 o'clock. Wednesday evening. Hope you enjoyed today's program. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow at 4 o'clock for Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's 5 o'clock.